word, brothers and sisters, is dreams can come true. The Lord is in this place. Do you feel His Holy Spirit? God wants to speak today. So when you come to church, Pastor Tom usually has a map on the screen, doesn't he? A geographic map. Pastor Michael loves a C.S. Lewis quote. I'm your girl. Pastor Dara loves a song. And I love an illustration too. So if you're wondering what this is, you'll find out in a moment. But brothers and sisters, will we stand and pray before we hear the word of the Lord? Come on, let's honour God in this place. Because this is the house of God.
Amen.
This is God's. This isn't ours. This is God's. So if you want to close your eyes, if you want to raise your hands, it's a sign of being open to God, a sign of surrender, a sign of thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. God, before we ask you for anything, we want to thank you for everything. Thank you for the breath in our lungs. Thank you, Lord, that we're able to get up out of the bed this morning. Thank you that we can be with the people of God in this place.
Hallelujah.
That we can praise and worship freely and it doesn't cost us our lives like some countries in the world, Lord. We ask you, God, today that you would be with us. God, where we have sinned, where we have had wrong attitudes or behaviours or done things, Lord, that we shouldn't have, we ask for your forgiveness. We're sorry, Lord. And we gracefully and gratefully accept it. And today, God, as we read your word, we ask you to speak divinely into our situations. Speak to us, Lord, in a way that stirs our spirit, that wakes us up, that we have dreams that are from you, God, that we have promises and miracles that are from you, Lord. We commit this time to you. We believe that you are good. We trust your word. It is a firm foundation. We thank you with all of our hearts, Lord. And we love you. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. You can grab a seat. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dreams can come true. We are looking at a person in the Old Testament today, and his name is Jacob. Yeah? And with Jacob, we have Abraham, Isaac, and
Jacob.
So Jacob comes from a lineage of really spiritual giants in his family. But what we're going to read about Jacob today is he's not really there with God. And I had a prophetic word in the first service, and I believe it's for this service too. There's some people here, and you come from a spiritual lineage. Maybe it was your grandparents, your parents. But God had to meet with Jacob, and Jacob had to choose God himself. We all have to make that decision. And some of us, we have a spiritual lineage in our family that gets passed down, and it's not good. It's behaviors, it's addictions, it's relationship breakups. You can break that too in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So this is Jacob that we're looking at today. And Jacob is a twin. And when he was in his mother's womb, Rebecca, she got a prophetic word from the Lord. And that prophetic word said that the twins, Jacob and Esau, who were about to be born, were rivals. And that they would be rival nations. And that Esau, the older twin, would serve Jacob, the younger twin. So talk about family dynamics. They're fighting in the womb, these brothers. Yeah, you think your family's messed up? It's not that messed up. But here's a bit of backstory on Jacob, if you're not familiar with him. When he was born, he's the second son, he's born grabbing his twin brother's foot, Esau. And what we see as he's in his adult years is that he tricks his brother and father to get the birthright inheritance and blessing of his older twin brother Esau. And this is really common in Old Testament times, that the eldest son would inherit whatever the father had. He would get the blessing, he would get the money, he would get the birthright. But Jacob, out of greed, tricks his brother and tricks his father. And what we see is that Esau, the older brother, wants to kill Jacob, the younger brother, and Jacob is fleeing for his life to an uncle that he has called Laban. So this is Rebekah's brother, and he lives in a place called Haran. So Jacob has made a mess of his life. Jacob, what we're about to read, he is homeless. Relationally, he has messed up everything in his family. He doesn't know what he's doing with his life, and he's on his own. Sounds amazing, doesn't it? So this is Jacob, and this is where we're going to pick up the story. In Genesis 28, verses 10 to 19, and the title of this chapter is Jacob's Dream at Bethel. So God, bless this word. Amen. We have open ears, open hearts, open minds, Lord. Have your way, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Here is what the word of the Lord says today. At sundown, Jacob arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed of a stairway that reached from the earth up to heaven, and he saw the angels of God going up and down the stairway. At the top of the stairway stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your grandfather Abraham and the God of your father Isaac. The ground you are lying on belongs to you. I'm giving it to you and your descendants. Your descendants will be as numerous as the dust of the earth. They will spread out in all directions, to the west and the east, to the north and the south, and all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your descendants." So watch what God says next. "What's more, I am with you, and I will protect you wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you." Hallelujah. "Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place,' and I wasn't even aware of it. But he was also afraid and said, 'What an awesome place this is. It is none other than the house of God, the very gateway to heaven.' The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethel, which means what, brothers and sisters? House of God. Hallelujah. That's a word from God, isn't it? Woo. Praise God. I want to look at briefly this morning Jacob's journey. And my mother says to me all the time, you got to listen to my, where's my mother gone? Is she gone?
She's upstairs.
She's upstairs. Denise is upstairs. That's okay. But we listen to our mothers, don't we?
Yeah.
Sometimes, okay. but my mother always says to me, it's not about the destination. It's about the
journey.
And we're all on a journey in life. We're all at different stages. And Jacob is at a critical crossroads right now. As we just spoke about, he is running for his life. He doesn't have anyone. He doesn't have anything. His life is a mess. And God spoke to me about some prophetic words at the first couple of verses that I believe are for people here today. So just to recap the start of what we just read. At sundown, Jacob arrived at a good place to set up camp and stop there for the night. Jacob found a stone to rest his head against and lay down to sleep. As he slept, he dreamed. So here's a few things that God showed me about this scripture that I believe will bless you today on Jacob's journey. The first is this: God interrupts his travels. Jacob is running for his life. If you're running for your life, are you stopping? No. I hope not. Otherwise you might be dead. He's running for his life. But what we find is that it's nighttime. And Jacob needs to go to a place called Haran, which is about 700 miles away. And Jacob at this point in the journey is only 60 to 70 miles in. And he has to stop because it's nighttime. God interrupts his travels. Brothers and sisters, if God interrupts your travels, God interrupts your day, God interrupts your five-year plan, you better stop because God is wanting to speak to you. Here's the next thing that God showed me about these verses is, as we said, he's not at his destination. He's not where he needs to be. But because he stopped, this is what happens. The revelation is not at his destination. And in our lives, we think, if I get to this stage of my career, if I reach this age, if I overcome this obstacle, if I move to this place, that's where God will speak to me. Brothers and sisters, it doesn't work that way. God speaks to you along the journey. Do you have ears to hear? So when God stops you, it doesn't mean all the time that you've done something wrong. Jacob had to be stopped for God to speak, for him to listen. Sometimes God stops us in our tracks because you're not listening. And we see with Jacob, he doesn't have a bed. He doesn't have a pillow. He doesn't have anything. It doesn't say he has fire to keep him warm. It doesn't say that he has something to eat. It doesn't say that he has a blanket. What it does say, for a pillow, he has what?
A stone.
A stone. Stone doesn't sound comfortable, does it?
No.
Absolutely not. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, in our own lives, we go to things to support us and to give us rest, and it's not their purpose. We go to a person, we go to a place, we go to a substance, and we want rest there, we want support from it. It's not its purpose. And that's what we find with Jacob. He has no one with him. There is no one saying to Jacob, Jacob, I'm going to pray for you. There's no one saying to Jacob, I will do the journey with you, Jacob. Jacob is on his own. So he has no comfort. But here's what the Lord showed me. He has no comfort, but he meets the Comforter.
Hallelujah.
In your life. When you feel like everything is stripped away. And the things that you used to go to are not working. It's not feeling the same. It's not sounding the same. God wants to be your Comforter. Don't be going to those people, those places, those things. You go to God. Because he's the ultimate Comforter. And here's the final thing that God showed me with these few verses was this. His life is a nightmare, but God gives him a dream. And there's people in this room today, and your life is a nightmare right now. And you're living in it. And God wants to give you, not your dream, God wants to give you his dream. Because the things of God are good. Because God's promises we can stand on. Because he holds our future. So if you're living a nightmare right now, God wants to give you a dream. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we see Jacob, he's in the desert, he's in the wilderness, he's on his own, and he's trying to sleep. And in the English language, we have a phrase called, you've made your bed, now lay in it. Yeah? And maybe if your English isn't your first language, you're going, I don't know why I'm in this church today and why there's a single mattress up on the stage. I'm gonna show you why. You've made your bed, now lie in it. Here's what it means. This is said to someone who must accept the unpleasant results of something they have done. So you made that choice, you've got to deal with the consequences. Yeah? And we all have beds to lie in. Now, does everyone have a bed at home, a mattress, a couch, something to sleep on? Yeah? If you don't, come see me and we'll sort you out. Yeah, we don't want anyone on the floor. But when I say this, I'm meaning it. Yeah, it's in the physical, you're seeing it today, but we're talking about figuratively and metaphorically. Yeah? Because we all have beds in life that we lay in. So, for example, you've made your bed and lay in it. I could rob a bank in the morning. I mightn't do a good job of it, but I can try. Yeah, I could rob a bank in the morning. The consequences of me robbing the bank is I would lose my job. Because you can't have a pastor in prison. You can't have a pastor in prison. I'd lose my job. I'd lose my home. I'd lose my reputation. I'm sure I'd lose some relationships. And I'd lose my freedom. I made my bed. I got a line. They're the consequences, yeah? If I was married, which I'm not, your girl is single, again, Dad, I heard you shout out Luna, shout out to your own daughter, yeah? That's what they got for. start speaking in tongues now. Calling it out.
Glory.
But if I was married, which I would be in the name of Jesus, if I was married, say my husband says to me, Dara, what are you doing on your phone? And I lie and I say I'm doing nothing. And I could be spending money that we agreed that we'd save. I could be texting someone that I have no business texting. I could be on Instagram and I'm looking at certain men in a lustful way. And I should only be looking at my husband with those eyes. The consequences of that, if I were married, which I'm not, is trust is broken. There's a pattern of lying that's going to start. And if I allowed it to get out of control, I could end up cheating. And these are the beds we make and we lie in them. But here's the good news, brothers and sisters. Can I encourage you today? As Christians, we have such an advantage. Do you know that?
Yes.
When it comes to the decisions in life, you and I have an advantage, and here are some of them. The first is we have the living word of God.
Amen.
You want to make a decision in your life? See what God says about it.
Yes.
Because he will direct your steps.
Yes.
The plans of God are good. You can trust him.
Amen.
We have the Holy Spirit, don't we?
Yes.
Again, our comforter, our peace. That the Holy Spirit will give you discernment and insights into situations. Yes. And we have the family of God. We have older believers, more mature believers who can pray for us, who can give their counsel and advice. We have such an advantage to this. So when it comes to making decisions in our lives, let us always go to God first. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. But this is my bed, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to lie in it, and I'm going to get ready for bed. Yeah? You're going, what on earth is going on? This is a snuddy. Anyone got a snuddy?
Yeah.
All the ladies. All the ladies. Do you get a new one every year? Sometimes. Where do you get yours? Pennies?
Yup.
Done. Done store.
Marks and Spencer.
Marks and Spencer. He got money. He posh. I'm going to be sweating up here. Oh my days. Snuddy. And then none of the men have them, do they?
No.
No.
Never.
Never. Because only the mothers or the wives play it for the men, isn't it?
Not in this church.
Not in this church.
Not in this church.
Not in this church. Praise be the Lord. Oh my days. I am my snuddy. I'm getting ready for bed. I'm getting ready for bed. And what's bad about a snuddy is it's cosy. It's comfortable, it's fashionable, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe. But you can hide in your snuddy. You can't see none of this. You might see this. But you can't see none of this. And you know, we make our beds and we lie in them. And for some of us, we're not like a Jacob. It's not that we've made a mess of things. But it comes up in our life in a different way. Maybe you went to college and you've got your master's, your degree. You've done your work experience, you're years into a career, and you hate it. Anyone get the Sunday scaries before work? No? It's like Sunday night and you're going, oh no, I gotta work in the morning. And you wake up and you're anxious and you're depressed. And it's not the boss. It's not the colleague, even though they might wreck your head. It's really not them. It's you're in a career in a field and you're going, I don't even know if I want to do this. And you make your bed and you lie in it because your parents paid a fortune. And you've done all of these years and you don't know what to do outside of it. Maybe the bed that you've made that you're lying in is to do with money. You took out the credit card or the loan, maybe to get a car, a new kitchen, maybe to keep up with people. Maybe it's even just to make ends meet. Didn't manage the money right at that time and it's just trying to survive. And now, week to week, month to month, it's suffocating. And we make these beds and we lie in it and we're going, I'm just always going to be in debt. Or maybe it's relationally. It's the dynamics in our families. And that's just how it works with my sibling or with my parents. And that attitude and behaviour was never addressed. And that's just how it is. And I'm not going to address it, so I make my bed and I lie in it. And every time I leave that person, I'm upset. Or I'm triggered. Maybe it's in our romantic relationships. I used to love them. And I married a fantasy, and I'm divorcing the reality. And these are the beds that we lie in, brothers and sisters. And we all have them. We all have them. And these snuddies, these things that we wear to bed, as I said, they can hide what's going on. So we can hide behind things. And maybe we're hiding behind our work. I work hard, I do overtime, I've got the promotion, whatever it is. And what I'm hiding behind is I don't know my identity outside of this job. I don't know who I am. Maybe what I'm hiding behind with the job and the overtime is I'm struggling to go back home to my family because I have no idea how to deal with what's going on. I'm so overwhelmed by it. I don't know how to lead in this. I don't know how to love in this. So I spend more time in work to avoid it, and I hide what's going on. You've made your bed, now you lay in it. Now, does anyone wear Crocs?
No.
Okay. Well, is there anything spiritually significant about Crocs for this message? No, I just like Crocs. And if you come to my house, you're going to find me in Crocs. Aren't they fashionable? Oh, real cool. Thanks, Henry. I'm going to get you a pair, love. Oh, I'm going to come down the stairs in my Crocs. I'm getting ready for bed. I made my bed. I'm going to lay in this. Oh, sounds fab. Beautiful. You weren't expecting this in church this morning, were you? No. This is a single mattress. Yeah, your girl is single. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for not being with someone. Give thanks in all circumstances. Amen.
Amen.
Some word of advice: if you're single, don't be getting into bed with anyone unless you're married to them. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, all the married people said amen. All right. Anyway, I got this single mattress, because it's just me. But it's a memory foam mattress. Anyone got a memory foam mattress?
Yeah.
We posh?
Oh.
Some of us still have spring mattresses at home. We know the struggle. You turn in the bed and it's bong. It's a memory foam mattress. And sometimes the beds that we lie in, brothers and sisters, the decisions that we've made, and we're dealing with the results of it, when we go to bed at night, all the memories come back. All the questions, the trauma, you can see the person, you can see the place, you can question, what if? We make our beds and we lie in them. We have a pillow, and we saw with Jacob, he didn't have a pillow, he had a stone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And these are to support us, and they're meant to be a place of rest. And we lean on things, as we said, and they're not a god. And the final thing I have here is a weighted blanket. Anyone got a weighted blanket?
Yeah.
Two people. Weighted blankets are, they're heavy. So they're about 6 kg or 9 kg. And they're meant to like regulate your nervous system. Again, if you're single, I would highly encourage you getting one. It's going to keep you holy. One inch gray, three people are in church. But with the weighted blanket, it keeps you in place. And for some of us, in the beds that we've made, we're weighed down by the worries. It's the worries of it all. So I'm going to get into bed. Because I made my bed, and I'm going to lie in it. Hallelujah. And you know, when I was praying about this word, God spoke to me that some people here, you're not like Jacob. It's not that you've made really poor decisions and you're living with the consequences. For some people here, you are like Esau, and you have experienced a Jacob in your life. You have experienced the abuse, the neglect, the rejection, the abandonment, the hurt. And we make beds and we lie in them because of it. We make the bed and we call it independence. I'm an independent woman. And it's not, it's isolation. because I don't want anyone close to me again, because I'll never put myself in that position again. We say that we're self-sufficient, and the root of it is an ego and pride, because I'm not going to ask for help from anyone, and I'm not going to accept help from anyone. So I make this bed and I lie in it because I want people at a distance, because I don't want to experience a Jacob again. So I'm going to make my bed and I'm going to lie in it. I'm going to get ready for bed. Is that okay?
Yeah.
We turn off the lights there. I'm going to sleep. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yeah.
All the time.
God is good.
And I'm going to say my prayers now and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, so I hide behind what I do. And when I go to sleep, all my memories come back. And what I'm leaning on and supporting on isn't working. It's meant to give me rest, but it's not. And I prayed to God about it, but I wasn't persistent in my prayers. I prayed to God about it, but I didn't like his answer. I prayed to God about it, and I don't know where I'm at with God. And now I have the weight of the worries. The worries of my future, the worries of what's going to happen. And we close our eyes and we try and go to sleep. And we can tell a narrative about ourselves, brothers and sisters. And we speak to ourselves, and I do this. And what we say to ourselves is, what I did was unforgivable. We say to ourselves that, why would anyone want to be with me? How could anyone love me? We say to ourselves that relationship is never going to last. We say to ourselves that I'm always going to be this way, I'm always going to be sick. We say all of these things to ourselves. And we made our bed and we lay in it. And here's what God said to me. Where's my clicker? Got lost in the bed. It's like a phone, isn't it? Did I leave it up there? Thanks, Dad. Give it up for Tom. Thank you, Dad. Are you going to tuck me back into bed? He hasn't done that in London. When I was small, when I was a little girl. Here's what God said to me about the beds that we lay in. He said this, we're lying in the lies. We're lying in the lies. We've made beds for ourselves and we're believing that this is life, that this is true. And it's not, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
It's not. It's not true. And Dad spoke about it in the first service, or in the pre-prayer service. And I believe it's prophetic from God. God's confirming it today. Some of us are asleep in the beds that we've made. Spiritually, you're asleep. And you're thinking, this is my life, and this is it, and this is all that God wants to do, and it's not true. And here's what God wants to do this morning. He wants to wake up us to the promises of God. Amen?
Amen.
You need to wake up. You're spiritually asleep, and we look at these beds and go, this is my life. Well, let's look at the promises of God. Let's see what he said to Jacob.
Amen.
What's more, I am with who?
You.
I am with?
You.
And I will protect?
You.
Wherever you go. One day I will bring you back to this land. And here's the key part. I will not leave you until I have finished giving you everything I have promised you.
Hallelujah.
That's the promise of God. And you're asleep. You're asleep like Jacob, and watch what Jacob says. Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it.
Amen.
God has been with you in it. He's seen the tears you've cried. He's seen the sleepless nights. He's seen the fights. He's seen the questioning. He's seen the prayers on your knees at the side of the bed. Your God has seen it.
Amen. Amen.
And he's been with you in it. And these beds that we lie in, brothers and sisters, we don't have to. We can wake up for them. We don't have to stay in this. Do you know what you can do? Kick it over. Get out. You don't have to do this. Wake up to what God is doing. And we lie in it. And we lie in things that are old. Something that someone has said to you. And they're dead. Things from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you're not in that place. Amen. That person is not in your life. You are changed. Look at what God has done. Hallelujah. And then I lie in the bed and I go, that's it. I'm always going to be this way. This is going to be the issue. As if God can't heal, as if God can't restore, as if Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sins. You've got to walk in freedom and you've got to believe it.
Amen.
Amen. And we're not. The same resurrection spirit that is in Jesus Christ that rose him from the dead is in you. Wake up and rise up and get up.
Hallelujah.
And the pillow becomes a pillar. The stone that he rested on, the very thing for his life where he's gone, this is a mess. The stone represents where he's at in his life at that time in the wilderness. He's on his own, he's messed up. But the stone becomes a pillar for the house of God. And we'll read it. The next morning, Jacob got up very early. He took the stone he had rested his head against and he set it upright as a memorial pillar. Then he poured olive oil over it. He named that place Bethel, which means house of God. Are you willing for God to take your pillow and for it to become a pillar in the house of God? Are you willing for him to take your mess and for it to become God's message? Are you willing for him to take the things that are broken in your life and by the blood of Jesus that he makes them beautiful?
Amen.
That God would use your sickness, that God would use your divorce, that God would use the broken relationship, that God would use the things that you've made an absolute disaster of, and that they would be pillars for him in the house of God. Because you can say, look what God done. Look how he used me. It shouldn't be me. Anyone else would say, anyone else apart from you. But God says, you.
Amen.
And your life is a nightmare, and God wants to give you a dream. The Jacobs in the room, wake up. God wants to give you a dream.
Hallelujah.
It's time to wake up. Will you stand wherever you're at, brothers and sisters? May I ask the worship team to come up? We're going to sing a song called Spirit Breakout. But will you close your eyes as the worship team comes up? We're going to pray. And what we're going to pray after this song is a very simple prayer, and it's this. God, give me your dreams. Not my dreams, give me your dreams, God. Because God's dreams are filled with his promises, are filled with his purpose. And that as we dream with God, that he would give us the plan for our lives. Whatever mess that we have made, God wants to make it into a message. God wants to use you. And when you read on about Jacob's life, God uses him in a mighty way. It's not how you start, brothers and sisters, it's how you finish. You're not done. It's not over. And we sang it, this is the day that the Lord has made. Today is a new day. And we can choose today. So let's sing to the Lord, Spirit break out, break our walls down. And then we're going to pray. Hallelujah.
Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Oh,
this morning, if you're going, God, I want to have your dreams, not my dreams. I want to have your promises. I want you to take the things that I've made a mess of in my life, and I want you to use it, Lord. Take the pillow and make it a pillar in the church of God. And we all have that. It doesn't matter how long you've been with the Lord. We all have things that when we lie down at night, we're going, what have I done? So if you want to pray that prayer wherever you're at, with all eyes closed, will you lift your hands to heaven? And we're going to pray where you're at. We're going to pray where you're at. Hallelujah. God, we acknowledge that your presence is here. And you are almighty, powerful God. For those of us, Lord, like Jacob, and we're going, God, what have I done? We pray, Lord, that you would speak into our lives right now. Maybe our life is a nightmare, Lord. You know everything that's gone on. We ask you, Lord, to make it your dream. Use us, God. Change us. Wake us up, Lord. Stir our spirits, God, that we can see that we have a plan and a purpose by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We ask you, Lord, that for those of us who have no comfort, that you would be our comforter. We ask you, Lord, for those of us who don't have the revelation of what you're doing, that today in the house of God, that you would speak to us now. And we pray, Lord, that your promise, that you will not let us go until you have fulfilled all your promises for our life, Lord, that we would hold on to this. If I'm awake in the morning, God is not done with me yet. If I'm able to move my body, God is not done with me yet. If I'm able to go into work, God is not done with me yet. Whatever you have called us to do, Lord, help us to dream your dreams. Use us, God. And the ashes of our life, the things that we feel like have burnt and are destroyed, Lord, by our own hands or by someone else's, we ask that the precious hands of Jesus, the nail-pierced hands, would restore them. We want to dream with you, Lord, because with you, God, our dreams can come true.
Amen.
So we acknowledge you, Lord. We commit this humbly into your hands. We are your people. Use us, Lord. Use us in our humanity, in our humbleness, God. We surrender to you. And let these people of God be people that say, look at the miracle that Jesus did. Look at what he took in my life and what he did with it. Let it be a testimony that only Jesus could do it, not us. So for every single person, Lord, this week, as we rise and as we go to sleep, we pray, Lord, that there be no bad memories, but it be filled with your peace.
Yes.
There's people in the room and sleep is such a struggle for you. Your mind is so anxious. And when you do go to sleep, you have nightmares. Pray tonight that the peace of God that passes all understanding would meet you in your bedroom. Before you go to bed, get by the side of your bed and pray on your knees. Bring God into the situation. God, we surrender our sleep to you as well. It says in the Bible that God is a God by day and by night, as we slumber, as we sleep. So, God, I pray tonight that you would give us sweet dreams. Speak to us in our dreams, God. Give us revelation and confirmation in them. And as we go, Lord, and as we do your work, and as we honor you, we ask for miracles in the mundane. We ask you, Lord, that you would use us in powerful ways. And we pray, God, that you will not let us go until we reach our destination, which is heaven. Let your hand be on our lives and on the lives of those that we love. We surrender, God. We love you, we thank you, and we acknowledge you. And the people of God said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.